So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, son, we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. Bronze retirement, give me the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo. I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag teaming like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Tires. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Apparently extra excited on this snow day.
We have a very special episode where we get this is a breaking new early episode for us, also because of the snow day, but the huge news, Daniel Bryan coming back. We got to talk about some New Japan wrestling and some exciting things that are going on there. Apparently, I heard through the grapevine that the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, is a huge Gato fan. And essentially, when there are big matches for New Japan, Gato calls Bill de Blasio. He closes schools for Wrestle Kingdom and for last night, ZSG, Zack Sabre Jr.'s big match against Tanahashi. So I really appreciate this partnership that New York City has with New Japan Wrestling. And I hope that we continue to have off days when there are big matches.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wish it was, like, a slightly bigger card, but that main event was, you know, all I needed to see. But, yeah, it's a brilliant thing that both snow days that we've had here at New York City schools have coincided with New Japan shows, and it's been pretty enjoyable.
Let me just ask, before we get started, I just want to remind you guys that we're brought to you in partnership with LastWinnerProWrestling.com, ROHWorld.com, and PWPonderings.com, and we're featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. Let me ask you, were you more excited about the snow day or about hearing that Brian returned?
Well, I mean, that's not even... That's tough, actually.
Because I was literally jumping up and down when I heard about the snow day, and I'm very excited about Daniel Bryan. Very excited. But I was literally jumping up and down, dancing when I heard about the snow day.
Right, like the snow day was cool because obviously it's a day of work that we don't have to go to. But Ryan coming back, like that's not a one-time thing. Like that's, man, thinking of the possibilities of him and AJ and him and Nakamura and Balor and anyone else. it's just a lot of fun. And then seeing Ryan in the ring opening SmackDown was one thing, and then actually getting physical, and man, that was it was surreal, you know. This was a guy that for 2 years I didn't think he had a shot, and I would read all of his interviews where he would say that, you know, doctors have told him that his brain has like gone back to normal and it's, you know, progressed so much and he's been getting cleared by everyone. So, I mean, good for him. I'm a little less worried than I was, because if it's just the concussion stuff and that has gone away, then great. You know, I can't wait to see what he does in the ring.
I mean, I'm very excited. There's a part of me that is trying to temper my excitement in that I'm not even creating matches yet. I don't even think of potential matchups. I don't know what he's going to be like. Like, I mean, it's Daniel Bryan, so he's crazy. And I think of myself, like, if I get hurt, but then I want to do something, like, I'm going to go 1,000%, even if I could get hurt again. I think that's going to be him, but maybe he's got a toned-down style. Maybe it's not the same thing that we remember. I just...
Well, and that's what he talked about, like, as soon as he got hurt, that he was working on this whole new style to take, like, less trauma to his head. And I'm sure the diving headbutt is not going to be there anymore, because that's just, you know, stupid. So, like, last night, we got to see the drop kicks. We got to see the S kicks. We got to see a German. So what we saw last night gave me a lot of hope. He looked great in there. I'm sure he's been training and that sort of thing, keeping in shape. But for someone who hasn't wrestled in 2 years, it didn't look like there was any ring rust.
Yeah, I'm in jeans. Dude is like running back and forth, throwing like crazy.
In a denim jacket.
And, yeah, I just don't even. You got to give him props for that. Yeah, it's very exciting. The possibilities are ridiculous, especially on SmackDown. You would figure at some point there needs to be, obviously, some interplay with him and Miz.
Well, and that's what I thought about this morning. The comeuppance that the Miz is going to receive is going to be brilliant. Like, that should be, you know, a big-time SummerSlam, marquee WrestleMania. Like, the Miz tortured that guy for, what, a better part of a year? And Bryan couldn't do a thing. And now he can. So, you know, it's...
But yeah, imagine...
That's going to be really good.
Okay, is there any chance? Any chance?
No, zero.
What am I going to say?
That he's not actually cleared?
Yeah, like they just cleared him enough to like throw some drop kicks in the ring and take like that power bomb, but then they're like, "All right, that's it."
No,
like, just make.
Then they wouldn't make the whole announcement and everything.
Like make them.
They don't play around with the help.
All right,
know what I mean?
That would just be amazing. Like, listen.
Wouldn't that would be terrible?
It would be terrible.
People would stop watching.
Okay.
If they falsely advertised Daniel Bryan.
But they didn't falsely advertise. He was legitimately back, and then because of Kevin Owens' plans and machinations, he's immediately now not able to wrestle.
Yeah, then Daniel Bryan can't ever... Yeah, come on now. Use your brain a little bit.
Then he'd be the biggest heel ever.
That was already a great angle last night. Like, Bryan just got cleared. You know, people love that guy, like, beyond anything. As soon as they attacked him, people were booing like crazy. So that just set them up perfectly. It's going to be an awesome tag team match with Bryan and Shane against them two at Mania. I mean, it just adds another match to the Mania card that is stacked. And I don't know, man. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you think it's going to be now? It'll be Shane and Bryan versus Kevin and Sammy, right?
Right. It's got to be.
Do you think you get any stipulation, or do you think it's just a regular tag match?
It definitely could be, like, for their jobs. And, you know, they lose, and maybe they get drafted to Raw, or they just show up on Raw, or something like that, or they win, and they get their jobs back. I don't know.
Maybe they win, Shane and Bryan get fired, Bryan's going to be an active participant anyway, yeah. He's not going to be the GM anymore, and then they bring in, like, Teddy Long, hopefully.
Yeah, whoever. Well, definitely not Teddy Long.
I hope Teddy Long comes out to make the match for WrestleMania. He's like, that's it. You know what? We're going to get a tag team match.
Yeah, holla, players.
And then the winners, one-on-one with The Undertaker.
Terrible.
By the way, just on a side note, did Teddy Long just get worse, like, when he came out on those appearances?
Yeah, it became a joke.
All right, so, like, on SmackDown back in the day, like he was, it was more normal, or am I just forgetting how bad he was?
So. No, it was more normal, and then it started to be like, oh, this is a thing, so let me just play it up as much as possible.
People power. All right.
Exactly.
So
So I mean, since you mentioned The Undertaker, a very enjoyable part for me of Monday Night Raw was Cena's promo about Taker and calling him a coward and all that. The picture of Texas Red in WCCW, and it's like that kind of stuff is hilarious. That, you know, like he's trying to goad out the dead man, you know.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, how many weeks do we have before Mania now? It's going to be on April 7th or 8th. So we have 3 weeks. I mean, Taker's got to come out and answer, right?
Right. And, I mean, I think Kane coming out was, you know, they sold it as like, oh, maybe he's answering on behalf of Taker. And now they're going to fight on Raw. So that's another step towards it. I don't know. Like, I was wondering on Monday, like, what if Taker just never answers? And then at WrestleMania, like, he just shows up. I don't know that would be smart, like business wise, because you're not advertising it. But I don't know. Like,
I mean,
it would be funny.
I obviously want to see Taker out. I want to see some build between both of them. But there's also part of me that's like, if he didn't show up until Mania, Cena just comes out and he's like, I told you guys Undertaker was a coward.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you serious? You see? Look, and he's still not showing up.
Bong. Like, right. That would be crazy.
That would be insane. But, like, then you have, maybe they don't have a match. Like, maybe he just beats the hell out of them. I don't know.
They
need to have the match. Taker needs to get this win. Shut up, Cena. Go out with a win. And then that's it. Then every match he's ever needed to have, he's had. You know, like, I don't know if you remember this, but there was one, I think it was Raw, where, like, we were there, and it was Taker and Cena on a tag team. Like, that's, they've been in the ring together, mm-hmm. like, two times. So, you know, that's something special that needs to happen.
All right. This might be crazy, and I've seen people talk about this on Twitter, so I forgot who said it, so I'm not trying to steal an idea, I just don't remember who said it. What if, is there any chance that Undertaker, you know, Kid Rock is being inducted to the Hall of Fame? Is there any chance
American Badass?
That we get to see one more time my favorite iteration, cool. The American Badass? You know, like he put the Undertaker to rest. He left the boots there. So now he comes back in with like his cowboy boots and he's the American Badass.
You know, because he left his stuff in the ring.
Imagine.
That would make a lot of sense. And like, they wouldn't need to put Kid Rock in the Hall of Fame this year. You know what I mean? It would make sense if they put him in so that he could come out and sing American Badass.
I'm scared because obviously that's, Kid Rock has some interesting views that my wife disagrees with, and I don't think I'll pop for anything louder than seeing Undertaker come out to American Badass. Also, somebody tweeted, I think it's Dylan Hales, who's on the PW Ponderings newscast alongside me. He tweeted that there's a possibility for Brian to be in New Orleans winning a match in front of Connor's family. Like, he won the title, then had to, like, leave, mm-hmm. right? Connor passed away, but was there when Daniel won the title. Mm-hmm. And now Daniel returns to the same arena.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor's family could be front row.
Yep. It's
my God.
Just Daniel, like, you know, and as I was watching that last night, like, it goes hand in hand with the Connor's cure and all that kind of stuff. Like, this couldn't happen to a better person, right? Like, if somebody who's done some dastardly things or had some drug problems or stuff like that got hurt and then got cleared, you wouldn't feel the same. But because it's Brian and he's pure and like he's just everything right about wrestling, you know, like everybody loves that guy. And it was such a feel good moment. And that would be, you know, an even bigger feel good moment at WrestleMania with Connor's family and that whole thing. So, you know, that would be great. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. And then from there, man, the world is his oyster, I guess.
Speaking of feel-good moments, first of all, I want WWE to now just go to the Hardy compound every couple of months and then just Lake of Reincarnation shit. Like, what if
just anytime anyone needs to. Well, all right, so let's like talk about
he invites he then, invites. Okay, fine, because I have a crazy idea.
The ending is where we're gonna play off of. But yeah, so I mean, in my opinion, I'm interested to get yours because I know how much you love the TNA deletions. But you know, I felt like this was it wasn't as insane.
Yeah,
like, you saw the TNA ones. They're shooting fireworks at each other. You know, like WWE is just smarter than that. They're not going to do dumb things like that. So or whatever. But I enjoyed it. I liked it for what it was. And then what happened at the end gave me a lot more hope because the TNA ones kind of was like just there was a point, but it never like led to anything big. So I think like if Bray Wyatt is actually deleted, then that would be pretty crazy. But yeah, I'm definitely interested to hear your take.
All right. So there are a couple of things like you said, they didn't do as many crazy things overall. I didn't like that one spot where he goes to the graveyard or whatever. And Bray's like looking for him, like
that was just like straight up.
Yeah, that's slapstick. Effects, you know? Yeah, that's just slapstick stuff. I mean,
but and that's kind of Matt Hardy. Like at first it was like, and then as it kept going, I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it was the only thing. If I'm gonna be really nitpicky, that was just okay, guys. Come on, like I don't like that. Everything else, though, I mean, I thought worked really well. I loved seeing Senior Benjamin. I mean, it's just amazing. Rebbe playing the piano. Everything. Maxill being there. You know, the guy who one time defeated Rockstar Spud. I love it all together. I could keep... I mean, I won't lie. I was super excited about it. It kept hyping up the wife. Stat wife was not having it. She literally stayed awake until it started. Like, as it started, she goes, all right, I'm out. Like, an hour before, she had been saying that she was going to go to sleep, and she stayed up and watched everything else, but then just goes, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. And I'm just like, you're going to go to sleep now? Like, you're missing the end.
This was the point, yeah.
Also, people on Twitter are, I hope, whatever, our listeners might be one of these people, but people kept like freaking out, like, oh, there's only 10 minutes left to Raw. What are they going to, why are they doing this Ronda Rousey video package? Like, they have to give deletion more time. And I'm just like, first of all, have you never watched WWE? Do you not understand that they always go over? Like,
it's built into like 11:17 at this point.
One of the things that makes my wife angry, she goes, why can't you get, like, can't they get this done in 3 hours? Like, every week she, like, gets angry about it. If it ever goes over, she's, like, super pissed off. And I'm just like, well, you know, it's built in. So I just couldn't understand people being, like, freaked out that there wasn't enough time left. Like, I'm like, come on. Right. This is obviously going to be enough time. The best part.
Right, and it's not like they're, like, wrestling, you know what I mean? They're brawling all over the place. It doesn't need to be 30 minutes.
I thought, I mean, and one, it was kind of my problem with the original deletion. Just some of the camera, like the cutting away is just a little bit too much for me. It's just like disorienting. Like I actually get kind of dizzy.
But you don't, okay, but you don't, I feel like that's a Lucha Underground element. You know what I mean? Where they're putting on something that you clearly know is not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're putting on
okay.
a show for you.
I get
in
it.
The show.
But it literally, like, I really mean that I got kind of disoriented a couple of times. I'm like, all right, guys, come on. Like, I need to close my eyes for a second. You know, like, one
and
thing
it's possible
is...
possible because it's the same, you know, it's Jeremy Borash helping,
yeah,
you know, set everything up and Hardy. So it makes sense why it would be similar and the same.
I mean, I've been... People, you know, they say that Kevin Dunn is the guy on SmackDown who does a lot of the edits, and I never noticed this before, but if you watch SmackDown sometimes, like, just watch it for like 3 minutes, you'll see like 95 different like different camera shots. I'm just like, guys, slow it down. There's no need. Like, I don't need to see everything from nine angles. Like, I'm okay. You know, I'm not saying I want a hard cam shot only, you know, like the entire match, but, you know.
I don't need 40.
I mean, they said that one of the things that made, that essentially allowed wrestling to be a good TV product was that you could essentially just do a hard cam.
Right.
When it first started.
Have to have both cameras.
You know, and then, like, you just sub in the other stuff. But, yeah, no, I really liked it. It was crazy. The one thing I didn't like, like, really didn't like, was Michael Cole just taking a hot dump on it. Like, oh, I'm sorry for this, guys. Like, he's apologizing before it starts and stuff like that. Like, that was kind of...
Well, but that's, like, I feel... I didn't think anything of that because that's, like, that's Michael Cole. You know what I mean? And that's probably directly Vince. But, like, I didn't... I don't know. Like, he didn't understand it, you know? And Corey and Coach were trying to, like, explain it to him. But he's never understood Matt Hardy. You know, he's always had the same kind of thing about Hardy where it's just like, what the hell is wrong with this guy?
All right. I do picture Vince going, fine, we'll do it. But I want to make everybody know that this is
crap all over.
Hot garbage.
But he also used this possibly, potentially, as a way to, what's the word I'm looking for? Freshen up, get a new Bray Wyatt.
Oh yeah, reincarnate.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Reboot.
Yeah, I guess like he give him a reboot, give him a repackaging.
Okay, yeah.
To repackage Wyatt. I don't know if he comes back as like awoken Wyatt or something along those lines, or maybe he comes back as like a Husky Harris type thing. I don't know.
Please.
It's not a bad idea to freshen up Wyatt, and by any means, hopefully that. Now, this is definitely where I want to hear your thoughts because you're someone who has been sour on Wyatt for a while. So, how could they bring you back to him?
I kind of would
need a whole new look. You know, what does he need?
I kind of like the idea of him going to Husky Harris. I don't know why. I really kind of do. You know, he was a Ferrari engine or a Corvette engine in a pickup truck or something.
The tank with the Ferrari engine.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of buy that a little bit more at this point than what he was doing. Just like I said, like he lost his luster because a lot of it just ended up being... Look, The Undertaker would... like talk nonsense or stuff like that, but he would back it up. Warrior kind of spoke nonsense, but like it kind of made sense and he would win. Wyatt just spoke nonsense and then always would stall out. Maybe he needs a new engine in that tank. So I want to see him come back as something completely different than Bray Wyatt. I'm totally fine with that. I don't think that many people are tied to Bray Wyatt. I don't think people would be like, oh no, the Bray Wyatt character is gone. And look, The Undertaker moved away from... He even moved away from the Undertaker gimmick for a while and went to the American Badass and then went back later. You know, maybe in 5 years people will be like, oh man, I miss Sister Abigail for some strange reason. I don't know why. But, you know, bring him back as something different.
Right, and I always think that, yeah, maybe he goes away from it now. And just like you said, maybe in a few years... Sister Abigail shows up and she brings him back, you know, or he starts having visions of her and it's like, oh, he's losing his wokeness or whatever. The effect has worn off, you can throw it any way you want. So, I just think with them throwing him in the lake of reincarnation, right? So reincarnation and then Matt Hardy saying, oh, excellent. He's been deleted and him just not being there. It gives me hope that something big will come from this for Wyatt.
There were a couple things that I thought were fun. Well, okay, so first, do you have to be completely submerged in the lake of reincarnation to be affected? Because he just sent Senor Benjamin.
It's like being baptized.
Okay, all right. So, like, Senor Benjamin can go up to his knees and be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was a little worried that Senor Benjamin was going to, like, be reincarnated or something like that.
No, it's like when your head and everything is underneath.
And then Chavo just walks out. Kerwin White. So, and the other thing was like, one, okay. So, either we believe that Bray got away, or that he's dead? Like, why can't he find him? Like, it's just...
He's deleted.
That was the part that it was just like, wait a minute. Are we not concerned that a man fell into a lake and now he's completely missing?
No, but that's the point of the Lake of Reincarnation. Don't you remember from the TNA ones?
But didn't...
Jeff would come out as, like, Willow.
Yeah, but he would come out right away.
This came out as... yeah, exactly. And now Bray Wyatt is gone.
So he's actually deleted. Okay. So what about this? I think that every couple of months or every once in a while they should do this. Yes. Like imagine Undertaker and Cena get invited to the compound. They both fall into the lake.
Let's look at someone who needs a reboot.
But wait.
You could throw... All right, go ahead.
Thug Life. Here's what I'm saying. They start they start brawling. They fall in. Oh. Suddenly, now it's... Oh, my God. They come out. It's Thug Life versus the American Badass.
Right. Well, yes. But or you could just use it in terms of... I don't know. Like when Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas are done with the Mistourage, you can throw them in there, and they can just come back as anything.
Oh my God, everyone can go in there.
You know, like, whenever you need... Dolph, you need a new look. All right, here you go. Throw it in the lake, reincarnation. You know, like, they could just use it for anything. Somebody could just go there looking for it.
R-Truth comes out as K-Quick.
I just hope in, like, 20 years, what's that guy's name? Is looking for the Lake of Reincarnation. The guy who did the Undertaker stuff.
Ponce de Leon. What?
The guy who did the Undertaker stuff at SummerSlam. The white hair.
Oh, hold on. Man, I am dying. Mordecai?
No.
What?
The guy who did the Undertaker, he was looking for the Undertaker.
Oh, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say Liam Nielsen. I knew that was wrong. Okay. Leslie Nielsen, yes. I hope in 20 years he's looking for the Lake of Reincarnation and trying to find the Hardy compound.
Man, the Hardy compound is crazy, by the way. They have a Lake of Reincarnation. That's, you know, last week we were talking about the fact that I was kind of having a little bit of difficulty enjoying the product a little bit. And watching Raw Live this week definitely hyped me up. I was definitely into it. And then watching SmackDown Live definitely got me more into it. And 205 Live. I really enjoy... I'm not sure if this week was just that much stronger or that I watched it live that made it more enjoyable. But I thought... I was really happy with WWE programming this week, by and large.
Yeah, watching it live definitely helps. But they were good shows. They did a good job. And I mean, it's WrestleMania, so, and I don't know, like, for the first time in a while, everything that they're building to at WrestleMania, like, I'm very excited for. So, I don't really know. Like, I can't wait to see the finishing touches that they put on some things, and I have no idea who the hell Braun's tag team partner could and should be. The stuff we talked about with Elias still would just make sense, but... You know, the lack of Elias on Raw and that kind of thing just kind of makes me feel like he'll be in the Andre Battle Royal. So I don't know who Braun would get. Like, I thought of, like, Lars Sullivan just because that's, like, another monster, and I don't know who else they have that fits that. But, yeah, I don't know.
It's me, Alexa Bliss.
That would be fantastic. But she's going to get decimated by Nia.
True. So... I actually still think it's Elias. I think that they kept him off of Raw so that we're not thinking about... I mean, they just had crazy...
Right, but... And what we talked about makes sense. Like, with Elias wanting to be the partner just to get a match and that kind of thing, but I don't know. Then where do you go?
I mean, fair. I don't know where you go from there, but... I just think that it was weird that they had that interaction and then nothing would be coming from it.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just been a storyline, you know, just a once-over, let's hold over, placeholder for these guys until we get somewhere else. But I don't know. We'll see. Time alone will tell.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Is there any question that Braun wins the titles?
I don't think so. But, I mean, if his partner is Elias or someone else, then that can, like, cost him the belts, then maybe there is. But it would make sense to give Braun a WrestleMania moment and give him a title.
Yeah. I really would enjoy it. I really love Elias in a way that I didn't think I would ever... I was so annoyed when he was just the drifter.
Oh yeah, that wasn't good. But everything since then has been really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're building some new guys that should be popular for a while. I think Elias is definitely one of those guys who can really just, you know, he can really get a crowd to boo him, even though they generally like him because he says, like, you know, jerk stuff all the time and things like that. So he's great, and I don't. Braun is just irresistible, man. Like, everybody is down with this guy, and I think that it's well deserved. So I'm excited to see how this plays out. This Mania,
well deserved since I was the first.
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly.
I think I was driving that bandwagon. Pretty sure.
You were. I didn't really believe. I didn't see it. I thought. I didn't know. I thought it was all about somebody who, you know, as long as you have two hands, you had a fighting chance. I thought he was gonna.
I was wondering if he would be Braun's tag team partner. Just like, just give me. I picked the most useless person ever, James Ellsworth.
The only reason I don't think it's going to happen, which that would be amazing.
Because he's fighting Matt Riddle at Joey Janela's.
Yeah, what is the deal with that? That is this just the ultimate squash match? Like, does it just end? Like, Riddle's video was the best.
I mean, like, have you looked at the card? That's pretty much what it is. It's like in a weird old guy against somebody from today.
But, I mean, Riddle faced Dan Severn last. Like, he
quite a drop off.
Did you see the promo video?
No, I didn't watch.
Because he literally goes, he's like, bro, is this like for real? He goes, I wrestled Dan Severn last year, and now I'm gonna wrestle James Ellsworth. Like, he's openly like dropping a deuce on Ellsworth, being like, right. No
he's
challenge.
He's just gonna laugh at him and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that'll be fun.
But there's a part of me imagine. Like, I mean, can Riddle survive losing to Ellsworth?
No.
Like, it would just be the most absurd thing. I can't believe I'm excited about it, though. You know, like, it doesn't make me want to... Okay, no offense to Matt Riddle, but this does not make me want to watch the show more.
No.
It's just a nice bonus alongside the entire thing.
Right, I love Matt Riddle, and regardless of the card, Spring Break was a shit show last year, and I can't wait to watch another one this year.
I'm just so... I can't believe that our break lined up the way it is this year.
It's marvelous.
Because I think next year, actually, Easter is so late that it's going to be very different. Mania's going to be early. But, man... Man, oh man! And also, just next year, imagine going to spring break.
And it doesn't matter because we'll be at WrestleMania.
Imagine going to spring break next year and then the spring break show, and then going to work the next day.
No.
Like, what insanity do we see next year? Like,
who knows?
I'm just, and I mean, I like the Bloodsport idea at least. I think that's really cool too. That show.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of shows, and that's not even like touching. A lot of good stuff. On right. WWN stuff.
Right. We can get into that more in the coming weeks, all the crazy things that they have going on.
So, I mean, a thing that had just happened while some of you guys may have been sleeping, Zack Sabre Jr.'s push in Japan, in New Japan, is absolutely, I mean, it's so quick the way that's been being done. Like, they're I think everything else that I've seen there is generally like a slower build, and this is insane. Like, he's just skyrocketing.
And, I mean, you know, this was his first New Japan Cup. He's only been there for a couple months. But, you know, he came in with Suzuki-Gun, and so you knew that he was going to be a contender for something. And, you know, they never booked him as a lightweight. They never booked him as a junior. It's he's always been a heavyweight. He beat Tanahashi in the G1, and I think that kind of cemented him as a heavyweight. And then, you know, since then, he lost to Tanahashi for the IC title. And so now, you know, you go into the New Japan Cup, and he's facing Naito. And I honestly thought he might win that because it's Naito, and he doesn't really need to advance. But, you know, a Naito Ibushi second rounder might have been great for New Japan. But instead, they go Sabre Ibushi. And now I'm like, okay, well, Ibushi doesn't need this win because he's with Omega right now. And Sabre gets another win. Then he faces Sonata. And that's where I was like, okay, here we go. Sonata, they're building him up. He's already faced Okada. This will probably be where he loses. He'll face Tanahashi next round. And Sonata Tanahashi, that'll be a big feud. Instead, Zack Sabre makes him tap out as well. And going into the final against Tanahashi, it was, you know, Tanahashi's banged up. He's hurt. Can he overcome all of this? And it just seemed like the perfect story to get Tanahashi back to Okada. You know, he overcomes the odds. But again, much to my surprise, Zack Sabre makes Tanahashi tap out. And so just to recap that, he beat, what, the second and third top guys in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat two of their hottest up-and-coming young studs in Ibushi and Sonata. You know, talk about legitimizing somebody. Zack Sabre is a made man. And he's going to face Okada Genesis. Do I think he's going to win that? No. However, he's a legitimate threat now. And he could win that. So it's not out of the question. And, you know, from seeing this guy evolve and probably one of my fondest wrestling memories of when he won the title and to see where he is now in such a prominent spot in New Japan is pretty cool.
Do you think this stuff with New Japan will affect what's like his title right now in Evolve?
Well, I don't know, because he doesn't have the Evolve title with him. Like, he has both of his Rev Pro and whatever the other title is. He doesn't have the Evolve title with him, so I don't know what that means for that going forward, but it hasn't affected it to the moment. But I can imagine, you know, if there's a New Japan show in around the same time as an Evolve show, that he would be going to New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to think that, right? I mean, that's... But I don't know what where his loyalties lie ultimately. I mean, he's been with Evolve longer.
Right, he loves Evolve. And, I mean, it's in his backyard. So, it makes sense. But, you know, New Japan is New Japan. So, I don't think you can, you know, really turn down a top spot when they're kind of offering you one. So, I mean, this one has been awesome. I've been into all four of his matches. They've been amazing. Tonight against Tanahashi was, man, it was really, really good. The announcer sold it like it was so important, and, you know, that makes it so much better, and it was really fun to watch.
What are you looking forward to this weekend out of the New Japan show? The Long Beach show?
Ah, I forgot that this was this weekend.
Yeah, so let's see. We have...
Did you watch the latest Being the Elite?
Yes, I did. Do you want to touch on that before?
Well, I mean, it plays into it, so that's why I was just mentioning it, because Cody is telling both of the Bucks that they should go singles. Kenny sent that video apologizing and saying he was sorry, and Cody edited it. Nick kind of saw through that. Matt didn't. So... it seems clear to me that we're heading towards the Bucks remaining with Kenny and whatever else happens there. But, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun. So the Bucks against Ibushi and Omega, I mean, that's going to be crazy.
Did you see? All right, so you saw it. One of my favorite things is I love that Matt, you know, that since Nick is the editor, right, like, of the show, like, he was able to notice that something was weird with the video. But, yeah. Like, the very obvious jumps in the edit were just absolutely amazing. It's just...
Right, and I mean, you know, New Japan, the Bucks and being the Elite hasn't tried to necessarily, like, movie you up. They haven't, like, when they make phone calls, they show you that the phone is, like, on the home screen and not really in a phone call. You know, so, like, you know, they show you inside that fourth wall and they make you laugh with it. So that's always good.
Listen, man, Brandit has a Twitter account, all right?
Of course it does.
And it has more followers than, like, anything else I know.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's just unbelievable that, like...
They're not dumb.
But it's just... It's so amazing that isn't it crazy that they have, like, their own... Not just that it has a Twitter account, because that's easy to do, right? But the fact that it had so many followers is, like, crazy.
Right. They have their own world stemming from being the Elite. And that's pretty cool that, you know, a YouTube show that just documents what these guys are doing outside of the wrestling ring has blown up so much and affected what is going on inside of it.
It's just, it's so great. I mean, I love how dastardly, like, just staying in kayfabe, the idea that Cody made those edits and he's like, no, this looks good. Like, they're going to fall for this. Like, I'm, or the fact that, just small things, like, just for me, when Nick goes, I'm so glad that Cody sent me my computer back, and then he opens it, and it's on, like, it hasn't been on before, and it's just open to the video, just little things like that for me make me really enjoy it, and I just can't, this match is going to be great. You know, most of my problem with New Japan is time difference, so... Having a match that is going to be at normal human hours makes me super excited.
Yep.
I don't have the amazing power that you have to avoid social media. Yep, it's March 25th. Yeah. I don't have the amazing powers that you have somehow to avoid completely being able to catch a result. I don't know how you do it. You know, like, I forget. Just I wake up the next day. I put my I open up. You know, I wake up in the morning. I'm like, I'm tired. I'm drinking my coffee. I go to Twitter. And I'm like, oh, great. I just spoiled the New Japan show. Sometimes I don't even know there's a New Japan show on. I just wake up, put on, you know, go on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, damn, there was a show, and now I just missed great stuff.
Right. See, that, I guess that's the difference. Like, whereas I'm, like, obsessive about knowing when they are and that sort of thing. And so I'm able to be aware to not check anything that morning. But, yeah, it works out because it would really suck to know the results of a lot of these matches.
And then, so I guess some news for the listeners. So we've locked it. I've been able to lock you in. So we're going to have an official Running Wild podcast review. I mean, obviously it's going to be a little bit ways away, but we're going to Ring of Honor at the Hammerstein Ballroom in June. And, we might be all in.
Yeah, man, I'm with it.
I mean, we go to All In. We have to be close, right? I mean, we're not just going to go.
No.
My wife is so all in that it seems that she's booking us at the official All In hotel completely without me saying anything. She was just like, I think we should stay at the Hyatt Regency. I'm like, oh, man, there's all, you know, because they're also going to be doing some sort of wrestling, like, con there that weekend.
Right.
Like, it's the official con of All In. So this is going to be... Wow. Just altogether fantastic.
Yep.
Super excited about wrestling this week. Is there anything that we missed that we didn't cover?
Don't believe so, no.
All right, so I'm going to head into your favorite part of the show. Don't forget, you guys can reach out to us on social media and follow us on Running Wild LWS on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. You can email us directly at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. Send us trivia. Send us comments. Who is your dream match for Daniel Bryan? Send that in to us. We want to hear about it. We'll talk about it on the next show. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter, @rich_laconi. And follow my coverage of Ring of Honor over at ROHworld.com and PWPonderings.com. Thank you guys for joining us. And we just want to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.